Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Evan Horowitz, and maybe you can hear it. Tick, tick, tick. The sound of time potentially running out on America's experiment with affirmative action. Students for Fair Admissions, they're an anti-affirmative action group, they're suing Harvard, charging that the admissions process discriminates against Asian American applicants. Harvard insists they have the legal right to assemble a diverse class, and that race is just one of a number of factors they consider when making admissions decisions. Already this week, we've talked to legal experts on both sides of this issue. Today, we have perspective from two students. First up, Julie Chung, co-chair of the Pan-Asian Council. Over the summer, she wrote a much-discussed op-ed for the Harvard Crimson titled, "Students for Fair Admission and Harvard Both Got It Wrong." So let's start there. How did the SFFA, remember that's the Anti-Affirmative Action Group, how'd they get it wrong?
The initial claim, right, that SFFA, Students for Fair Admissions, got it wrong is coming out of the idea that right now they're attacking affirmative action programs and race-conscious admissions using Asian Americans as the sort of excuse or the key to this whole situation, that actually race-conscious admissions are a way for Harvard to discriminate and not necessarily support students of color.
And so you think in some ways they're sort of using Asian American students as part of a broader strategy to undermine affirmative action more generally?
I mean, I do think it's a little more complicated than that. Obviously, the Asian Americans involved in the case, too, have some say in this. But at the same time, Edward Blum, the conservative activist who's
behind the group.
Behind the group. Yeah. This isn't his first case. It's just so happens that now in this new iteration of his attack on affirmative action, he has found this group of Asian Americans to, in his argument, as portraying these people as students of color who are at the same time being somehow disadvantaged by race-conscious admissions.
You yourself, you support the ideals of affirmative action, the idea that diversity is an important virtue at a university?
Yes, definitely. I mean, I think that's something that's highlighted in the piece I wrote.
So, I mean, what do you think diversity brings to a university that's so important?
I think diversity is, of course, important in terms of, everyone talks about the kind of educational benefits or the social benefits of having a diverse learning environment. And I do concede to a lot of those points, but I think more than this kind of diverse learning environment that seems a little wishy-washy to me that affirmative action brings, it's more about its potential, right, to actually help people of color who have been historically put at a disadvantage in arenas of higher education. So I think that affirmative action has the potential, maybe it's not perfect at this state, but still has the potential to remedy a lot of those inequalities.
Do you think of it as like an engine of opportunity for people who haven't had access before?
Definitely.
So then, what's Harvard getting wrong in this?
So I think this piece was written at a point in the summer when there were these allegations of Harvard potentially having a bias. I don't think there's sufficient data to say whether Harvard is actually discriminating or not. But the fact that Asian Americans were so concerned because of the certain types of stereotypes that they've grown up with and maybe even come to internalize and fear, especially things like the model minority stereotype, the idea that Asian Americans, just by virtue of their race and culture, are more hardworking, and that feeds into a lot of stereotypes about the kind of Asian American test taker and the kind of molded and perhaps uncreative Asian American student. The fact that Harvard perhaps is getting it wrong, that sentiment is not coming from necessarily that they're discriminating against, they're possibly using race admissions to discriminate against Asian Americans in the admissions process, but that Asian Americans, even though they'll support Harvard and their endeavors to keep race-conscious admissions, that doesn't mean that we're not going to still keep Harvard accountable to its students of color and to its Asian American students in continuing to support them.
Now, you mentioned also that part of the reason you feel strongly about affirmative action is as an engine of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder how economics plays into this for you. I mean, I know, for instance, and I think you talk about it in the piece, that one of the things about the Asian American community in the United States is that on average, they've been very successful. But it's also the most unequal racial community in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if there's discussion about this, about whether these kinds of programs help the poorer, more struggling parts of the Asian American community in the U.S. or how that plays in.
Yeah, I think you're right in pointing out how easy it is to gloss over the fact that affirmative action can bring great benefits to the Asian American community, particularly those on the lower end of the socioeconomic spectrum, which are frequently glossed over, right? So the Pacific Islander community, so people like Vietnamese immigrants, Hmong immigrants, Cambodian immigrants, the fact that these communities have such low access to education and have such low levels of college entrance and graduation rates. And the fact that affirmative action and race-conscious admissions policies can greatly benefit those communities if used in that way.
If this lawsuit goes forward and admissions becomes race blind, how would that affect the way people enter, the kind of identity that you brought to Harvard, the kind of identity that other people bring to Harvard? Would it be diminished? Do you worry about this?
I do worry about this a lot, because I think it's important to highlight that this case isn't just affecting, you know, the kinds of learning environments or the diversity just within the college itself. What does it do to the high school student who's applying to college and needs to represent themselves on this application? I think that race-blind admissions is maybe implicitly, but maybe even explicitly, saying that race is not important, right? That race is not an important part of your identity because it has not affected your material circumstances, but perhaps like living in a quote-unquote post-racial society, as these people claim, that it also does not affect your identity at all. And your identity, right, is such an important part of your application process to college. And for me, when I was applying to Harvard and to college more broadly, race was such a large factor of my application. Race informed a lot of the activities that I did on campus. So I started a group for Asian American students at my high school, and it informed what kinds of groups I was searching for and what communities I wanted to contribute to and be a part of once I joined college. And I made that very clear on my application. And race informed a lot of the research interests that I had in high school. Race informed the supplement essay that I sent and the kind of identity that I formed in high school that would then inform what kind of student I would be and what kinds of experiences I would add to my college community. And I think that if I came in to this application process with the idea that those factors, all of them didn't matter, I don't know what I would have been left with, how I would have represented myself to the fullest.
The trial starts Monday.
Mm-hmm.
If you got 2 minutes in chambers with the judge, you know, is there something you particularly want to say?
I think I would say that if the ultimate goal is to, you know, whether it be, you know, supporting students of color, addressing historical inequalities by racism, making education access more equitable. I think that SFFA is trying to say that if you have these ideals, then you would take away race-conscious admissions because it is, in fact, hurting Asian Americans. And I would tell the judge that actually there are many Asian Americans who do not believe that at all, and that if you're going to get rid of affirmative action, don't say you're doing it for the Asian American community, because that's a statement that many of us reject. So don't use us as an excuse. Find another reason that you're not doing this in our name.
That's Harvard student Julie Chung, co-chair of the Pan-Asian Council and previous co-president of the Harvard Radcliffe Asian American Women's Association. Julie, thanks so much for being with us.
No, thank you.
Earlier today, we spoke with Amber Ashley James, a law and business student at Harvard and a member of the Black Law Student Association. James sides with Harvard. More than that, she sees the lawsuit as an attempt to further the goals of Edward Blum, who's helped orchestrate this and other cases against affirmative action. She talked about how this case has divided the Harvard community.
America is real polarized and real divisive as it is right now. 18 to 21-year-old kids don't need this right now on their campus. Kids are trying to live their lives. They're trying to go to class. This is the last thing that they need, bringing that polarization and that division home to where these students are living and working. Even the Asian American community is very divided on this issue. I'm Black American. I'm not Asian American. But I know from the face of the counter protest to this lawsuit on Harvard's campus right now is Asian American women. They have taken this charge and run with it, planning panels, planning marches. And then on the other side, of course, there are Asian Americans on campus and elsewhere who are in support of this, who, you know, feel as though they've been discriminated and this is their chance to vindicate, you know, the way that they've been wronged by this unfair system. So I think it's divisive on campus in general amongst, you know, the sort of umbrella of people of color. I think it's specifically divisive and counterproductively divisive within the Asian American community as well, in a way that just does not serve the interests of Asian American students at all.
And just to give voice to those who do support the lawsuit, there is an ethical principle behind it, like a principle of fairness, right? The claim is something like the way the system is designed discriminates against Asian American applicants who have the highest academic credentials but the lowest admission rates. Because this came out in part of the lawsuit, they seem to get lower scores on non-academic parts of the Harvard admissions process for their sort of softer side, the personality ratings and things like that. And the sort of the ethical argument behind it is like that's just not fair. You should be evaluating people according to the same measure, regardless of their ethnic background. Where's that breakdown?
Sure, I disagree. And I think if you really want to talk about fairness in the admissions process, the biggest boost that you can get in the admissions process, if you're looking at similarly situated applicants with similar backgrounds, the biggest boost that you can get is being a legacy. The biggest aspect of the Harvard application system that is unfair is completely absent from this lawsuit. To be ignoring the single most unfair factor in Harvard's admissions process kind of says to me that they're not actually interested in fairness. They're interested in getting rid of race-conscious admissions, but they're not interested in making sure that the application process is fair. I say that as a legacy. My dad graduated from Harvard College. My parents met at Harvard Law School. There are very few Black American legacies. Legacy status is something that helps wealthy white students. And Blum's not interested in any sort of remedy that decreases the number of white students at Harvard. I don't want to completely dismiss Asian American applicants who feel as though they have been wronged. If you feel like you've been wronged in this process, this is not the remedy that you should be seeking. Greater oversight over the admissions process, or having a more diverse admissions committee that is perceptive to and empathetic to and reflective of the body of students that are applying to be admitted to Harvard. None of those remedies are being sought.
The argument is something like something is going wrong with this process. Therefore, you need a totally new process. Instead of something's going on with this process, therefore, we need to fix the process.
Right. Like if you're
even
alleging...
whether you acknowledge or not. But if you acknowledge that something may be going on
in the process. If you allege, as they're doing in this case, that something is wrong in this process, then let's look at the process. Let's figure out what's going on in the process and figure out what remedies would actually address that alleged problem.
So I raised the fairness issue before, and you were pretty insistent. You want me to put words in your mouth. So I'm going to give you more words that you really are going to insist you do not want to have put in your mouth right now. So we spoke to a number of people this week, including Ilya Shapiro of the Cato Institute, a think tank in Washington, D.C. He supports students for fair admissions, and he questioned the use of affirmative action policies for a few big reasons, including this one.
It's unfair that even members of racial minorities benefit all that much from preferences that put some people into universities that are maybe above where they would otherwise be. And so they begin to achieve at lower levels, and they see that other people who are achieving at lower levels are also members of racial minority groups.
It's an argument sometimes called mismatch. When you use racial preferences in the admissions process, you end up admitting people who are not ready for university, and they are therefore trapped in a position where they can't succeed, which is not good for anyone. You're looking at me with eyes that I wish I could convey over the radio.
Shooting my worst side eye at you, because that was actually wild. So it's personally offensive because that mentality that students of color are unfit to be at Harvard, that mentality is actually incredibly common. It is usually a more subtle ethos of being a little bit dismissive towards the students of color in class, not really taking them seriously, not really taking their contribution seriously, not thinking of them as peers, people that you are on the same level with that you can learn from, but people that, you know, snuck in the back door and aren't really worth your time. And that is absolutely a mentality that I have experienced at Harvard and in other elite spaces. And it's personally offensive because I feel like it puts students of color, Black and Latino students, Latinx students specifically, in the position of constantly trying to prove that we belong there. And that's just, and on top of playing a sport, on top of going to class, on top of getting good grades, on top of getting great internships, you have this additional burden of trying to justify, of having to justify your existence at this elite institution that other people simply just don't have. Like, it's ridiculous. It is disrespectful, it's dismissive, and it's a burden that Black and Latinx students simply shouldn't have
to
carry.
Let's stick with this question about the application itself and the resume, because we also spoke to Julie Chung. She's an undergraduate at Harvard currently. And she expressed a concern about race-blind admissions, which is that it would strip her of the ability to tell her story. Being Asian American for her is a big part of her identity. How could she convey who she is in the application process without that information? Does this strike you as a real concern?
I absolutely relate to that. I mean, I can't talk about myself in a way that doesn't reveal that I'm a Black woman. And that's the remedy that's being sought in this lawsuit, is to strip away a student's ability to present themselves as a whole, complex human being in which race is a fundamental part of that, especially in America, especially in 2018, and say, you need to present the sanitized version of yourself that talks about your academics, talks about your sports, talks about your extracurriculars, but not in a way that gives any indication of your racial or ethnic background, because Harvard's not allowed to consider that. If you're trying to understand who a 17, 18-year-old high school kid is, why take away their ability to present themselves as a whole human being in this process that is supposed to be about evaluating people as whole, complex human beings? I there's no way that I could submit an application and not talk about being a Black woman, because the fact that I'm a Black woman who grew up in Florida in the South is a huge part of my identity. It's a huge part of the experiences that I've had. And it's a part of the person that I'm going to be once I get there.
That's Amber Ashley James. She's currently a law and business student at Harvard who lives and works with current undergraduate students. She's also a member of the Black Law Student Association and attended Harvard for undergrad, graduating in 2011. Thanks again for joining us, Amber.
Thanks so much for having me.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Evan Horowitz. This is Radio Boston.